Okay, the reading this evening is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation for love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Let us pray together. O Lord, as we turn to your word now, it is our prayer that you would speak new truth to us. Open our minds and our hearts to everything that you would say to us this evening. Take these frail human words and make them and shape them into the word of life for us all. In Christ Jesus. Amen. If you were to come to my house early on a Saturday morning, after my daughter's extremely early ballet lesson at 8:30. I know, what was I thinking? And before the afternoon swimming lessons, you may experience chaos, mess and noise as the children from the street gather to play. They're all of similar age, ranging from 3 to 7 years, and have all known each other most of their lives. As parents, many of us moved into our new houses the same week, some with newborns, others were still expecting. The children, therefore, cannot remember a time when they were not neighbours. It's interesting the arguments, the tears and the laughter that can be heard as they explore and shape their own identity as community. Of course, as parents, we would say that we've formed community too, but with adults it's different, isn't it? Do I allow my neighbour to pull my hair or snatch something off me? As I talk with my neighbour, do we laugh so uncontrollably that we have to hold each other up? As adults, we become conditioned to behave in a certain way within community. We learn to be respectful, regardless of emotion going on inside. What I love most about the community that my children are building is that it's real. Each are vulnerable and are not afraid of it. They're not afraid to show each other what's really going on inside. They've not yet learned to filter the emotion. And yes, sometimes it looks and sounds chaotic. The mess left in the bedrooms or the playhouse at times can seem like the remnants of a war zone. Within their community, I've seen them physically fighting, falling out with one another, arguing over differences of opinion. I have seen some even leave my house in a way that says they would never wish to return, with a slammed door. But you know what? I've also seen within minutes the same child ring the doorbell to come back in and resume play. Children that had fallen out in the morning soon stand together in battle against an older child from the next street in the afternoon. They're experiencing and living out what it means to be united in community. They seem to accept one another. They don't judge one another's situation. There's no praise, no blame. Emotionally, they are somewhat connected. If one is upset, they're all affected. If another is celebrating, they all rejoice. If one of them is on holiday or grounded, they're missed. It's wonderful. Of course, what the children have realized as they fuss and fight and make up again is that we all need community. While we often think we're self-sufficient, most of us know that we all need relationship. A place where we can feel loved and accepted. We need people with whom we can be real, authentic, vulnerable, without feeling judged. And we look for that kind of community in different places. Some look to the football or rugby, others in the local pub, some at dieting clubs or flower arranging groups. Some may go to the gym, bingo, shopping. Some people find the community on their television at home. Of course, the church too is called to be community. The Apostle Paul knew how much Christians need community. In his letter to the Philippians, he began by rejoicing in their love for one another and their love for him. He praised them for their support while he was in prison. He knew that they were a great group of people. He was so grateful for their prayers. He knew they were a community committed to serving Christ. And yet, at the same time, Paul knew that they could be closer, that they could do more for Christ together. It seems that Paul longed for them to be absolutely united. He wrote, "If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." Paul reminded them that they shouldn't do anything out of selfish ambition, that they should always think of others before themselves. What does it mean to look to the interests of others? Well, I think it means it's not about what I want, not my own ideas. It's not about what I think is best, but rather to put others before self. I imagine the Philippians must have been quite surprised at Paul's words. They were doing a great job. They thought they had community, and wondered how they were going to become even closer, become of one mind, absolutely united. Paul tells them, he offers them a beautiful picture of how that is to be achieved. He tells them that they should all have the mind of Christ. He reminds them that Christ, even though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. But he had emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. It is a picture of servanthood. He lived not to be served, but to serve. Paul realized that they would never be united in community unless they gave themselves completely in this way to Christ. And so it is with us. If we are ever to become all we are called to be, if our community is to display Christ's love to a broken world, we must all have the mind of Christ. Paul was encouraging them to be imitators of Christ's humility, to be of one heart and one mind, to be a community that isn't motivated by any selfish ambition, but rather to be a group of people that regard others as better than themselves. Paul is teaching that humility is important to life in community. He reminds us our best example of this humility is in the life of Jesus. In John 13, chapter 13, Jesus insists on washing the disciples' feet. the task usually performed by a servant or a slave. This made the disciples feel very uncomfortable. And it can feel uncomfortable allowing others to serve us, can't it? But Jesus tells his disciples to follow his example by serving one another, allowing others to serve us. Many of us might agree that it's much easier to be the one serving others than to be the one being served. I know it is for myself. I wonder why we find it so difficult to humble ourselves and to receive, to be cared for, to be the one on the receiving end. Maybe deep down we have a fear of vulnerability. Maybe it's just because we're not used to showing our need. We may have once had a close relationship with a friend or someone where we allowed ourselves to be more vulnerable, where we depended on them to help us, and maybe the whole thing went wrong and we're still hurting and vowed never to let anyone into that place again. Or maybe we were brought up to be fiercely independent. We quickly learned that if we didn't do things for ourselves, then they wouldn't get done. Or we were expected to just get on with life, regardless of how we felt inside. The culture we have grown up in does very little to encourage us to be humble, to be authentic, and to be vulnerable. Our Western culture seems to have an obsession with individualism. We've become intent on doing everything ourselves, multitasking. We're taught it's not good to rely on anybody else. We must be independent, self-contained to be successful. So much so that it can be very difficult then to ask for help. Hard to reveal to anyone that we can't do it all ourselves. Or maybe we allow our nearest and dearest only into that secret, that we need others. Like it's something to be ashamed of somehow. Sadly, it seems that we've been shaped by the culture to believe that to need others is a weakness. So we believe to let others know we have struggles is unwise. What would they think? Humility is to be able to say, I can't do it all myself, and I don't want to be able to. Verse 5 of Philippians says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard himself equality with God as something to be exploited. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Jesus emptied himself, surrendered to human limitations, that he could identify with us in every respect, in our vulnerability. He not only humbled himself to death, but endured the worst, most humiliating form of death in the culture of his day. There appears to be a tendency in our human nature to want to hide our weakness and vulnerability. Jesus did the opposite. He put his weakness and vulnerabilities on display. We just have to look on social media to see how the culture encourages us to present a public picture of our lives. We see posts of people on holiday eating gourmet food, beautiful flowers, pictures of beautiful cakes that they've made. What we don't see is their loneliness, the stress they're under, the financial problems that are a burden. There are no photos of the baking that went wrong, the marriage that is falling apart due to lack of communication is not mentioned. No, all the vulnerable, needy elements of our lives are hidden. We can be guilty of this in church community too. We can have the Sunday self that is holy, worshipping with hands held raised, carrying a large Bible and always smiling. And then we can have the rest of the weak self that's addicted, that's overwhelmed with life, that's guilty, that's fearful. We can be lonely and depressed, stressed at work, but of course that self is hidden from our church community, hidden at work and when with friends. Not only is this life false and unfulfilling, it can be extremely exhausting too, having to pretend we're something that we're not. It can be difficult for us to expose our imperfections and our difficulties. We're all a broken people on a journey to healing and restoration. It can be difficult for us to share this with others. I wonder if part of the beauty of allowing others to witness and share our journey of brokenness and transformation can be a powerful thing for others to observe. So if we constantly present ourselves as having arrived, we have nowhere to go, rather than down in estimation when people eventually see the cracks. As Christians, our credibility is established in the process of transformation. Transformation that we allow God to bring into our lives. I always think it's a rich blessing to meet people that are humble and radically authentic. But it can be a little shocking to be in relationship with those that are not afraid to bear all. My husband and I have some Korean-American friends. A couple, they lead a mega church in California. When we first met them, we could see that something about them was different. They didn't introduce themselves as the leaders. In fact, it was a good few days before we actually realized that they were the pastors. They didn't dress or strut about like they were in charge. They weren't interested in what we did for a living. They themselves were both medical professors, but nobody knew. No, instead, they took time to get to know us. They were interested in what was going on inside. They asked us questions of the heart, questions that nobody else had ever asked us. They asked what our marriage was like, how we were finding life as parents. Odd, you may think. Nosy, some may say. But they were real people with a real interest. They weren't concerned about surface, talking for talking's sake. Also, they were willing to share their own hearts and their own journey with us. They were willing to share their journey of transformation, all that the Lord had done in their lives. They spoke about how difficult their marriage had been, how challenging parenthood was. He spoke about lustful temptations he'd struggled with for many years, and she spoke about how depressed she had felt through many seasons of her life. We were shocked. After just a few days, we were drawn into such deep relationship with this couple that we felt that we could tell them absolutely anything. You see, humility encourages humility. Authenticity motivates authenticity. And vulnerability inspires vulnerability. I've recently returned from Calcutta in India. I went along with a team from college with the BMS, Baptist Mission Society. It was a complete culture shock at first. The poverty, the filth, the overpopulation. But you know what? When we settled in and built relationship with them, we learned so much. So many people there lived on the streets, in shacks, built on the slums, didn't have anything, no clothes, nowhere to lay their head, hardly any kind of shelter. They did not often know where or when their next meal was coming from. Many of them had died from water contamination and malnutrition. But what they did have and what we saw over the 2 weeks we were there was that they had real community. Before this experience, I would have said that I had a good community too. But when you see people that have nothing sharing what they do have, washing each other, feeding each other, sharing soap and water, allowing themselves to be totally vulnerable, They look after and bring up the children that are not even relatives. Four-year-old children taking care of babies that are not even their siblings. Well, you almost have to see it to believe it, really. Nothing was hidden. Their vulnerability and humility, their need for each other was obvious. And despite their situation, they were so happy. And they had real love and true community. I will never forget the experience. If we're really honest with ourselves here this evening, we can probably count on one hand the people that we have true community with. Those people that know the very depths of our hearts, with whom we are emotionally connected. I wonder what it will take for us to have community relationships that are completely humble, authentic, and vulnerable, where people are united by their love for Christ. The mystery of being in Christ is a wonderful thing, where we become united more and more as we abide in him, as we have the mind of Christ. Humility, it seems, is something that we cannot choose to embody. I think it grows and ripens within our lives as we give ourselves to the one who humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death for us, as we seek the mind of Christ. Paul says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mind as Christ Jesus. It is a challenge for us all, regardless of our age and our situation. It's difficult to let go. And yet we have this picture of Christ before us, the one that gave everything, the one we are to follow. He lived a life of complete authenticity, humility and vulnerability, which cost him everything. He laid down his life for his friends. And he calls to us over and over to follow his example. As we give ourselves to him and each other in community, let us seek the mind of Christ. We can become more authentic community that calls others in, calls others to remove the masks and be real, to become vulnerable, and to truly, truly walk in the humility of Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we do pray that in the coming days and weeks and months ahead, that we could be more humble, more vulnerable, and more authentic in community. That we would seek the mind of Christ. We thank you for Jesus, for his life, for his example to us. Help us, Lord, to seek the mind of Christ above all else, that as a community we would become ever more united. Help us, Lord, to put others before ourselves, to love like you love, that we would become the community in this place that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.